started our series. I'm just reminding you, and if you're here for the first time, I really would like to encourage you to download our sermons. They're all online under our resources page. Go download them and listen to them. It's been a really great series. But John started the series from Zechariah, where he challenged us that whenever we have a mountain in front of us, something that's really, really tough to do, something that's really challenging our faith, that we need to remember that our God is bigger than any mountain we face, that the same Spirit that now lives in us would level that mountain in a heartbeat, and that we should hold on to that Spirit and allow the Spirit in us to get us through the tough times. But then we can't just look at that mountain or the tough thing. We need to get involved with that same Spirit inside of us and grab that spade and start digging away. But he specifically challenged us that in the context of our local church, that we start doing a small thing and get involved in the church in a small way that will make a really big difference. And then week two, and John spoke about that small little thing called hope, that when you go through the tough times in this life, it is the hope in Christ and the hope in Christ's return or you meeting Christ one day that will help you get through those tough times, the small little thing called hope. And then last week I preached on our words and our actions, that they really do matter to God and to this world. But we then need to allow God into our hearts, to clean up our hearts so that our words and actions would bring honor to the name that we bear. And now today, we're going to wrap up the series and we're going to talk about our habits and our disciplines. But before we do that, it's a really small thing if you think about it. Before we do that and read our main text, I want to give you a bit of context behind this. So if you are on your phone and you've searched Durban under the events tab, you'll see our church comes up, or you scan the code on the bulletin. You should be open already on 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to read from verse 24 onwards. If you just have your normal eatable Bible with you, you might want to turn to 1 Corinthians 9 with us. And we're going to read from verse 24 onwards. And a bit of context behind this, Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and they completely understand his analogy about the race, because they are preparing themselves for the Isthmian Games. I had to practice that quite a lot, the Isthmian Games. And for the Corinthians, it was quite a serious thing. There was a sense of deep patriotic pride if you competed in the Isthmian Games, and even more so if you won. You and your community thought you were the shiz if you won. So it's kind of our Olympics today, that if anybody in church would go to the Olympics, we'll probably pray for them, and we will be watching. And if they come home with a gold or without a gold, we will still like, yeah, but if they come home with a gold, it will be the shiz, hey? That'll be really awesome. So this is the context to which Paul is writing to the Corinthians. They understand the whole Olympic Games thing, and it's really important to them. So let's read that together. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and I make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. This morning, I want you to think of that really important thing, whether it's going to the Olympics, if you're going, great, but what's really important to you? And like I said last week, whenever I preach, you can like talk and interact, especially when I prompt it and tell oak jokes. Okay, now this week they caught it because I told it last week. But what's really important to you?
Family.
Thank you, Ron. Your family. Anyone else? What's really important to you?
Friends.
Your friends? Yeah, thanks, Lindsay.
Work.
Safety? Yeah.
Health.
Health? Awesome. Come on, some of the young people. Have you had coffee yet?
Not enough.
Not enough, okay? Coffee is important to you, all right? Okay? But yes, Bronwyn, family is really important to most of us here. Right? And seeing that it's a family service, I kind of want to focus on that And yes, all the other things are important. But for most of us here, whether you're part of a family or not, you would say that family is quite important. So in order for us to relate to the Corinthians, that is it this morning. Think of your family as the Olympic Games or the Isthmian Games. And then I want us to think about this. Your family's race right now. How's it going? Where is it heading? Will you and your family get to the end, to that finish line, and hear these words spoken of you and your family? Well done, good and faithful servants. Well done, good and faithful family. Well done, good and faithful husband or wife, brother or sister, son or daughter. You see, if this is important to us, if this race is really important, and the end goal is important, we've got to look at our family right now and ask ourselves the question, will we hear that cheer at the finish line? If we want to receive that great dad prize, are we currently living the great dad lifestyle? Our current family, the way we currently interact with each other, will we hear those words at the end? And as we carefully look at our current family status, let us think about the outcome and maybe ask ourselves a question, do we need to change anything? Where our family is heading, do we need to change anything? Where I am heading as a son or a daughter, do I need to change anything in order to get that prize? To hear those words spoken, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, most people who run a business would tell you that this is quite true. If at the end of your business life, when you retire one day and you want to receive that prize that you can retire and move on, any person in business will tell you it is impossible to run a business for 30 years in the same way you did when you started it. 30 years ago, we didn't have the technology we have right now. So if you currently run a business still on, you know, like writing notes and sending a note to somebody and then waiting for them to reply back and say, yeah, I would like a dozen eggs. And then you take out a book and you write down they've taken a dozen eggs. And then you run to the bank and ask the bank. It's just not going to work, okay? Now you can just go up to the counter and say, I would like a dozen eggs. And you take out your cell phone, you scan a code, and you pay, and you're done. Okay? If your business is still run the same way it used to run 30 years ago, and you haven't changed anything to reach that end goal, it's just not going to work. And the same applies with running. You know, we've been like on quite an exercise rant as a church lately. And just imagine when you start running and you're training for the comrades, but all you ever do is a kilometer around the block. Anybody here run the comrades? Like just like, oh yes, yes, got a few hands up. Do you think that'll work? No, come on, those who have run the comrades, would that work? If I just run 1 kilometer a day, like just 1K. Come now. No, oh, come on. What's wrong with you guys? Like, don't you believe in our ability to run? Like, sure we can run. You're like, he's smoking his socks. Hey? But that's the principle. If you and I want to finish the comrades, surely we need to change something in terms of our training, the way we eat. And the kids in there, I think the speaker's off because they didn't. Yeah, they are listening. It's good. Yes, they are. They're going to eat your Bibles. This is going to be the strangest thing. You're going to lock away your Bibles from your children. Don't do that. But we've got to change the way we train and what we eat if we want to win the prize. So in terms of our family, if we carefully look at our family right now, what are we eating? Is it like I preached last week? Is it just fast food? And whenever the family goes through a tough time, all they can deal with is a 20-minute storm? If you're like, I have no idea what you're talking about, just download last week's sermon. But the gist of this is, if we have a family only get takeout, only eat fast food, and we only sit around the TV every night, our communication, our intimacy as a family would be of that kind of value. Fast food. There will be no deep and meaningful conversations. There'll be no sustenance to help that family through the difficult times. Because we all know that the difficult times come. And so the challenge for us this morning is, if we want to get that prize as a family, what do we need to change? Do we need to only have takeout once a week? Or do we need to just spend a bit of time around the dinner table? Maybe just dust it off, you know, spend time around the dinner table. And then teenagers, this is the biggest challenge for you this morning. Spend time with your family around that dinner table and put the cell phones away. Like, hey, Jan, you just pulled that card. Just put it away for an hour. And just chat to mom and dad or your brother and sister. And if that is really a challenge, well then, create a WhatsApp dinner group. And around dinner, at least just WhatsApp each other. And go, how was your day? But please, like, just eventually try and have a conversation. And put the technology away. So that you can build into your family, into those relationships, a bit of deeper meaning than just, hey dad, how you doing? Oh, fine. Okay, great. Hey? Or mom, what's for dinner? Oh, KFC. No. Okay, hey? Hey? Something to have KFC around the table, if it's KFC. But, you know, let's go a little deeper. And you might go, but Jan, yeah, that's tough, man. That requires a bit of discipline. And I don't have discipline. Well, I would like to remind ourselves this morning of how disciplined we really are. Because I believe we all are disciplined. All right? When you're hungry, what do? You eat. Now, that requires discipline. Like, I'm hungry, so I go and eat something. When you're thirsty, you go and get something to drink, yeah. When you're tired, you generally go and rest or sleep. And that all takes discipline. When you're driving the car and the little fuel light comes on, what do? You go. That is so true for a young adult. I was there. Yeah, I just heard it over there. If you didn't hear it, when those little lights come on, as a young adult, you pray. Hey, yeah, that's so true. But when that account comes in the post or via email, we generally pay those accounts. So we are disciplined. We definitely are. But sometimes we just need to channel our discipline. Hey, we need to just channel our eating away from fast food into something a bit more meaningful with a bit more sustenance. Have those deep, meaningful conversations around dinner table. Spend a bit of quality time together, and like, I really like campfires and going away, and well, where we currently stay, I'm not allowed to make a campfire in the backyard. But in Benoni, I did. We did a lot of dangerous things in Benoni, but hey. We had two really rotten trees, so I decided to chop them down and just make a campfire. And it was probably the most meaningful conversation I had with my wife in Benoni. We had a campfire in the backyard, and it was big. I'm pretty sure somebody called the fire brigade because it was huge. And they were like, well, this shouldn't happen in the suburbs, right? But we could have a deep and meaningful conversation around that campfire. And if you have that ability at home, maybe try it, but just put in like some safety precautions. But as a family, those deep, meaningful conversations around the dinner table or campfire or whatever floats your boat in that regard, do it together as a family. And maybe just one weekend a year or so. But let's feed our family some more substance. So when those storms come in the family concept and environment, we as a family can stand through it because we've had a deep and meaningful conversation about, so what happens when you break your arm while running? You have that kind of conversation with your son or daughter. Or what happens when that bad report comes? In my house, you'll be punished, and you'll wash the whole house again and again with maths, like, playing in the background. Hey? Yeah. I don't know how you guys do it, but that will happen, you know, my poor children. As a family, let's think about that end goal. Do we want to hear those words, well done, this is such a godly family, welcome into heaven? And if we want to hear those words, let's look at our family right now. Are we heading down that path, or are we somewhere else, running aimlessly without an end goal in mind? And if we look at our family right now and we just discover that maybe there are a few things we can change, in order to improve the communication, improve the love, improve support. Let's do that, and let's do that now. And do those small things that can make a massive difference to your family. The earlier you start, the better. And now you might be sitting here going, Jan, well, I don't have a family. And I'm not, like, kind of, I like living life on my own, you know, that kind of thing. Well, there's a spiritual race that I need to talk about then this morning for you as well. That's in this text. You and I, as individuals, are part of God's family. We are running a race together. And this morning, I want all of us as individuals to look at our individual race. Where is your spiritual race going to end up if you had to die this morning? Or die in 20 years' time? Would you hear these words spoken of you as you enter the pearly gates with Peter at the front gate? Are you going to hear these words, well done, good and faithful servant? Will the angels in heaven be cheering your name or going, hey, buddy, what's his name? Hey? Where is your spiritual race going right now? Is it going towards heaven where the angels will know your name and cheer you on and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come, let us worship the Lord together. Or have you torn a hamstring? Are you taking a break going, yeah, and maybe one day I'll get back into it. The challenge for all of us this morning, as individuals and as families, is to make the decision today to start our journey, if it's headed in the wrong direction, to start our journey back to the cross. To go through a bit of strict training, if you may. To start those 5-minute devotions again. Get ourselves back on track. Heading towards that end goal, heading towards heaven once again. And if that's you this morning, I just pray that you'll make the decision this morning to do that, to sign up for the race, to say, yes, I'm going to run the heavenly Olympics. I'm going to make it happen. And today I'm just going to start with a 5-minute devotion. Or today I'm just going to download the sermons again and listen to them throughout the week. Today I'm just going to pray again. Today I'm just going to think about God again. Because friends, we all want that crown that will last forever, don't we? We all want to enter into heaven and go, how's it? How are you doing? And so if that's you today, if you carefully look at your spiritual race right now, where is it going? If it's going towards heaven, it's awesome. Carry on training. Don't stop. If it's not going towards heaven, today is the day to make those changes. Today is the day to start running the race. Heading towards heaven again. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we have the ability at this point in time in our lives to still be in the race, to still have a choice to make whether to follow your way to heaven or not, as an individual or as our families. And so we pray this morning, God, that you would challenge us, you would equip us and give us the courage, Lord, to make the decision to follow you and your way all the way to heaven. Give us the courage, Lord, to start training today, to make those changes necessary to be on your path. And we just pray, God, that you will help us today, help us right now to make that decision. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The next song is,